from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. A little later in the show, we'll be joined by Senator Lindsey Graham to talk about the president's trip to Singapore. And then Dennis Prager joins us to talk about how the Southern Poverty Law Center is going after Prager University. But first, on Thursday, the Inspector General's Office released their report on how the FBI handled the Clinton email scandal and the Russian collusion allegations. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to talk about it is Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs.
Congressman Biggs, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Good to be with you.
Well, Congressman, I know you have been looking at this. This is something you've been tracking for quite some time. But now that you have your hands on the report, what are your initial impressions?
Well, my initial impression is that Mr. Comey, James Comey, former FBI director, indeed abused his power, indeed threw, in my opinion, the investigation of Hillary Clinton. You're going to see, as people look at this and study this more, they're going to find that there was disparate treatment between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and those campaigns and how these investigations have gone. And I think you're going to find that Peter Strzok, if we look at page 421, Peter Strzok, you're going to find the IG putting out probably one of their most forceful statements, and it'll sound rather bland, but they indicate that they don't have confidence that he was playing as a an impartial investigator here. And these are things that are important. And there's a whole lot left because it's 500 pages long and trying to get through this. But I think it's going to corroborate a lot of what we've heard in the press already. But I think, moreover, we're going to find we have reason to be concerned what was going on at the highest levels of the FBI.
Now, as you mentioned, Congressman Biggs, over 500 pages, 586 pages, it's just been out a couple of hours, so it's kind of hard to get through all of it. But what new information have we learned thus far from the IG report?
Well, we learned some context of certain things already, and that is Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, who were considered expert. Peter Strzok certainly was considered an expert and was giving deference in the investigation. We learned that he clearly had a bias. And everybody has a bias, but in this instance, it was an unfair bias, and it looks like it was an unfair political bias. And that is outrageous in a constitutional republic where you have your law enforcement for political reasons basically trying to scuttle an investigation. And I think the other thing that the takeaway here is the Inspector General, of course, is just an investigative body, and they try to be very objective, and they're not going to they can't recommend criminal indictments or anything like that. But what we see about James Comey is that he was unleashed. He had no respect for the role of command, and he was out there basically also impacting investigations in a way that he shouldn't have been.
Well, when you talk about Peter Strzok and his comments, his text messages that were going back and forth with Lisa Page, it's very clear that there was a bias. I mean, he essentially said that we will stop then candidate Trump from becoming president. Now, I mean, as you said, everybody has biases, but to express that we will stop candidate Trump from being elected, that's a pretty significant statement when you have the power to choose to drop the investigation or put to the side the investigation of Hillary Clinton's emails and then move on to the quote-unquote Russia collaboration that they said was taking place. So it appears that certainly something had to play into his mind.
Well, yes, and I don't want people to get confused here, because some of the media outlets are saying that the IG has said that they felt that because Strzok was not a decision maker, that he did not, you know, his bias, his unfair bias, had no impact. But that's not really true, because he was a lead investigator, and he had the bias, and the people who were decision makers listened to him as a top-level investigator, how to pursue, how to investigate. And then he found himself on the Mueller investigation. So this is just it is outrageous bias, and he, the fact that he's still on the government payroll at the FBI is something that leaves me absolutely flabbergasted, and we have to do something about that. But Tony, here's something to consider as well. I think many of us have long expected that the IG would find that there were anomalies and mishandling and abuses of power in the Hillary Clinton email investigations. Well, Attorney General Sessions and FBI Director Chris Wray both testified in the Judiciary Committee when I was questioning them after the IG's report came out. They would reopen the investigation if those types of findings were there. Those findings are in the IG's report. Those investigations need to be reopened.
Now, I don't want to miss here, Congressman Biggs, the underlying issue, which we're talking here in the investigation of how they handled Hillary Clinton's emails. That issue in of itself is still a very significant issue because we're talking about an issue of national security that really still hasn't been dealt with.
Oh, absolutely right, which is why the IG got involved in the first place, is because Hillary Clinton, we know on its face that crimes were committed. We know that the statute did not say what Mr. Comey said, that she didn't intend, that she didn't have the culpable mental state of intentionality. We know that she just had to be grossly negligent, and her conduct, it was grossly negligent. I mean, but he took it upon himself to basically prevent the prosecution. He took it upon himself to scuttle the rest of the investigation. And this is what this whole investigation has been about, is why and what. Now, you know, as long as we're considering other things that need to be really resolved, don't forget that in the stack of emails between Strzok and Page, there is a reference that POTUS wants to know everything that's going on. And that's critical. I'm not trying to conflate both the Mueller investigation with this Hillary Clinton investigation, but Mr. Strzok was involved intricately in both. And apparently he was giving information to the President of the United States, to the former President Obama, about these things. That is critical. We're still asking for tens of thousands of documents from the Department of Justice that we can go through in Congress, because it's critical to know what the former President of the United States knew and when he knew it.
Well, I think it's certainly of the utmost importance that people find out the facts here, and Congress having the oversight of, and you being on the House Judiciary Committee, oversight of the DOJ, to find out exactly what happened. Congressman Andy Biggs, as always, great to have you on the program, and I'm sure in the next several days, as we turn through each of these pages and overturn the rocks under which so many things are hiding, we'll want to talk more about this.
Absolutely, Tony. Thanks for what you do.
You can find out more about Congressman Andy Biggs when you head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, I want to invite you to be a part of keeping Washington Watch on the air by going to TonyPerkins.com and making a contribution. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com.
For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. Well, one of the other big news items from early this week was the president's trip to Singapore to meet with North Korea's Kim Jong-un. Taken at face value, there was a lot of progress made in the effort to denuclearize North Korea, and joining Tony to talk about the president's trip is South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
Well, I want to get your take on this because, as you know, I respect your opinion on these foreign policy issues because I love having you on the program because you study these issues. You know these issues. I saw your comments recently extolling the value of your Democratic colleagues' comments about the threat to of North Korea and how the president needs to be tough. And you're backing the president up on this because you understand how significant of a threat North Korea is.
Well, the biggest threat from North Korea having a bunch of nuclear weapons and missiles is that they will sell it to somebody who will use it. The only reason 3,000 Americans died on 9/11 and not 3 million of us is the terrorists couldn't find a way to kill 3 million of us, and they would if they could. So when I look throughout the world, Tony, and opportunities for terrorists to get nuclear material, weapons, or technology to hurt America, North Korea is on top of the list. So to those who think you can contain North Korea, you're making a mistake. President Trump made a decision early on in his presidency that I'm not going to live under the threat of a nuclear attack from North Korea. I'm not going to allow this man to have a bunch of nuclear weapons and a bunch of missiles because he will sell them or give them away. I'm going to bring this program to an end, and I'd like to do it through a peaceful resolution that's a win-win. To those who want containment, you don't understand the proliferation problem. So I applaud the president for reaching out to North Korea in a tough but win-win fashion, and time will tell as to whether or not this works.
Well, it appears that the sanctions that we've seen in North Korea were part of bringing Kim Jong-un to the table. But the critics are saying, well, the president just elevated this dictator to, to a higher status. But you know what? It's funny, Senator Graham. I don't recall those same people saying the same about Barack Obama when he went to Cuba.
Well, the bottom line is that the people who are telling Trump what he's doing wrong about North Korea are the ones who got us to where we're at. The bottom line is that President Trump is giving North Korea a way out. He's got to convince Kim Jong-un, Tony, that he's better off without nuclear weapons in terms of security of his regime and prosperity of his people than he is with nuclear weapons. Now, how do you do that? You offer him a Colomé deal where you get security guarantees and you get economic assistance to better serve yourself and your people. Column B is a conflict with the United States that will be devastating, but the North Korean regime will come to an end. If it's not that clear of choice, we'll never get this done. North Korea's got to believe in China that Trump is dead set on stopping the development of nuclear missiles and weapons to hit America and is going to bring this program to a conclusion.
Let me ask you this question, because this past weekend, on Sunday, I believe it was, you were on with George Stephanopoulos, and you said Congress should authorize President Trump to take the United States to war against North Korea if North Korea does not give up its nuclear weapons program.
The
now, some people criticized you for that, but I think what you were communicating is what needs to be communicated, that the president has the backing of Congress that if the negotiation table does not work, we are serious about eliminating the nuclear threat from North Korea.
Well, that's why I like coming on your show. You tend to follow the events as they unfold. So here's what I told George. The Democrats, Senator Schumer and Feinstein, seven Democrats sent a letter to President Trump detailing what a good deal would look like. Give up all of your nuclear weapons, dismantle your missile systems, turn over all your plutonium and uranium, allow anytime, anywhere inspections, no place we can't go. So here's what I said Sunday. I support that as a good outcome. To get that outcome is going to be difficult. Here's what I'm challenging my Democratic colleagues to do. It's not enough to tell President Trump what he must achieve. You need to help him achieve it. And what would help? If the Congress spoke with one voice to North Korea and China and said, listen, we prefer diplomacy, we don't want a war, but if diplomacy fails, we have the president's back in terms of the military option. And if we don't convince North Korea and China that the military option is real, we'll never get a good deal. But if Congress could speak with one voice, as a last resort, we'll use military force if diplomacy fails, I can tell you that will affect things in a very positive way.
I had to chuckle, Senator, when I saw Iran reaching out to Kim Jong-un, warning him that you can't trust Donald Trump. Apples and oranges. I mean, what the president did in withdrawing the agreement with Iran was an agreement that was done by Barack Obama that was not good for America. This is an agreement I think I have found, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but when this president says something, he sticks to it.
Okay, so that's the key right here. I am like begging China to listen to this guy. Don't miscalculate here. President Trump said he would destroy ISIS. He is. He said he was going to pull out of the Iran nuclear agreement if it didn't get better. He did. He said he was going to rebuild up the military because it had been gutted on Obama's watch. He's done that. He's told North Korea that he's drawn a red line. I will never allow you to have a missile to hit America with a nuclear weapon on top. If you keep going down this road, we're going to have a conflict, and I will bring this threat to an end by military force. China is now backing off the sanction regime. The fact that I know Trump is doing well is that Iran and China are getting nervous. The Iranian deal was terrible. It didn't have any limit on the ability of Iran to produce enrich in the future. It didn't cover their missile program. We gave them $150 billion, and they've used it to wreak havoc on the Mideast. They're threatening Israel. They dismembered Yemen. They've torn Iraq and Syria apart, and Trump understands that's a bad deal. So my point is simple. The Iranians are watching, and if we blink in North Korea, Iran is going to march toward a nuclear weapon because they think we're not serious. If Trump can have a breakthrough in North Korea, end their nuclear weapons program peacefully, win-win for us, North Korea, and the world, then you got Iran in a box. Donald Trump is playing this very, very well. To my Democratic friends, I know you hate him. We got a lot to disagree on. Help him on North Korea. It will help you politically. It will help the world as a whole. Park your dislike for President Trump. Back him up where you can.
Excellent point. Excellent point. Let me address, before we run out of time, Senator Graham, the issue of human rights. Obviously, removing the nuclear threat, number one priority. But North Korea is the most repressive regime on the face of the planet right now, especially when it comes to religious freedom. And I know that's an issue that you care about. And it's one that obviously I care about as well as a member of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. I'm hopeful that part of the negotiations will be that we can go in there and monitor improvements, because to date, the commission has not been allowed in North Korea. And I would hope that that is a part of the pressure applied, that we can monitor not just human rights generally, which we should, but also more specifically on religious freedom.
You know, that's a good point. You've been probably the best advocate of anybody I know about why religious freedom matters in any society. And you know that human rights matter. We are a country of values, but what we're not trying to do, we're not trying to bring democracy to North Korea. I love democracy, but we're not doing that. We're not trying to unify North Korea and South Korea. We're trying to stop a clear and present danger, according to Dianne Feinstein, threat from North Korea to the United States. Now, what about human rights? Here's what I would do if I were President Trump. You know that video you showed Kim Jong-un of what North Korea could look like?
Mm-hmm.
So North Korea is between China and South Korea. It's in a really good spot for business. I would make sure that part of this deal is to push him on human rights and convince him the following. If you want to reach your potential, human rights is good for business. Abusing people's rights is bad for business. To get all of these growth opportunities to come to your country, major companies are not going to invest in a country that destroys its citizenships' rights to worship, to put people in jail just for no reason. Just convince him that human rights is good for business.
I'm with you, and I want to work with you, Senator, to make sure we get that human rights component addressed as we move forward on the peace.
It's so important for the future of the peninsula. It really is.
Senator Lindsey Graham, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for coming on today.
Again, that was South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. To find out more, just head over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, and you can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be right back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. Past speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. It's been just over a week since religious liberty won a significant victory at the Supreme Court, but the left just keeps on attacking. Now it's online education service Prager University. Joining Tony to discuss the Southern Poverty Law Center's attacks on PragerU is conservative commentator and the president of Prager University, Dennis Prager.
Dennis, welcome to Washington Watch.
It's always great to be with you, Tony. Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you on. We haven't, I think we haven't spoken since NRB, so it's good to reconnect with you. The SPLC attacked PragerU on its Hate Watch blog last Thursday. Now, it didn't go so far as to designate you as a hate group. I guess it's hard for one person to be a group. But it did report on your organization's influence as if it were a threat to American society. What do you have to say about that?
We are a threat to the left, a very big one. We will have a billion views this year. We had 650 million last year. The majority are under 35 years of age. So it's interesting. Even Mother Jones and BuzzFeed, two major sources of the left, they did big pieces on PragerU last year or earlier this year, the pieces were pretty fair, interestingly, because there's really nothing that even in a fevered mind could be depicted as hateful on our website. I mean, you know, when you have George Will and Brett Stephens and Charles Krauthammer and Steve Forbes, you're not exactly talking, you know, a hateful bunch of people, just to give a few examples. So what they did was particularly loathsome, which is par for the course for the Southern Poverty Libel Center. And what they did was you have to hear the tone. It's so convoluted, it's hard for me to have memorized. We had Dave Rubin do one of our videos. Dave Rubin's a very popular video cast guy, and he is a liberal, lifelong liberal. He's gay, he's a Jew, he's a liberal. I mean, he's got great credentials for the left. But he gave his, and I could say that because I'm Jewish, so your listeners shouldn't panic. But the video's subject was why I left the left. And its thesis is they're meaner, they're less tolerant, they're less open, they're less kind, they're less compassionate than the right. This is from a lifelong liberal with all the other credentials that I mentioned. So that drove them absolutely crazy, because there's nothing more obnoxious to the left than a defector. And he appears to be a defector. So now listen to this. So we had him do that video. Now, he, to his credit, interviews people from all over the spectrum. So one of the people he interviewed, whom I'm not particularly familiar with, was a guy named Stephen Molyneux. Are you familiar with him?
I am not.
Okay, exactly. So he's not exactly a household name, which is not hardly a knock, just a fact. And he even interviewed Milo Yiannopoulos. And so here's the story. So he has interviewed people he doesn't agree with. These people are unacceptable to the left, rightly or wrongly. And because I had Rubin, who had them, that's the connection between PragerU and the alt-right. Get it?
I think I'm following. But it's hard to follow SPLC's logic. Other than this, I think it boils down to this, is that they can't tolerate opposing ideas. That's what it's ultimately about, is it not?
Entirely right, but it's more than that. As it happens, by wonderfully good luck, my field of study was communist affairs at Columbia at the Russian Institute. My whole life I've been studying the left. And since Stalin called Trotsky a fascist, I mean, which is a joke because, of course, Trotsky was the father of the Russian Revolution along with Lenin and the father of the Russian, the Red Army.
But that's how he got him out of the way.
Yes, by calling him a fascist. So ever since then, that is what the left does. The left throws the worst names at those they don't agree with. That's all they know how to do. They don't build. They know how to destroy. They are nihilists. And there is nothing in the country more loathsome, maybe Antifa, but they don't have they don't have any intellectual influence. But in terms of intellectual influence, the SPLC is as low life as it gets.
Is there going to be a turning point in this? Because they seem to be the go-to source for many in the media as an authoritative figure.
Yes, that's the problem. Not only that, but when the New York Times or others, including, unfortunately, now Google and YouTube, when they use them, the New York Times writes about the Southern Poverty Law Center, it never notes left-wing. There has never been a time I have been mentioned in the mainstream media that conservative talk show host has not been added, the word conservative. They label our politics, but they never label the left's politics. So people think that there's something honorable and neutral, but there's nothing honorable and nothing neutral about the SPLC.
Well, Dennis, I know you know what music means. It means we're out of time.
That's why I shut up.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us, and thank you for fighting the fight for free speech. And always great to have you on the program. Dennis Prager.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234. 372-7234.